Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of November 19th, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us, we have Chris.
Hello.
And that's it. I mean, it's holiday week. It's actually, if Thanksgiving, if anyone's listening to this on Thursday when it goes up. But, yeah, so people are busy, but we're going to do it, still going to do a show. And while we kick it off, like we usually do, we'll kick it off with some newbie news. And there's a couple shows that came super slow week just because I think it's Thanksgiving week. No one really cares about putting news out. There's a couple things came out. So we'll start off with some trailers. And first trailer that we want to talk about was the trailer for Now You See Me, which is going to be a big heist action blockbuster coming out next summer.
If you want to call it that.
It's a heist movie.
Yeah.
And it's going to be during
it's
the summer.
It's a heist movie.
Yes, magic. So it's basically Ocean's 11 meets The Prestige. It stars Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher, Dave Franco, Mark Ruffalo, Morgan Freeman, and Michael Caine.
And George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Yes. So, yeah, basically, there's like, so Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Isla Fisher, and Dave Franco are like this quartet of magicians who are also bank robbers, and they also, then they're like Robin Hood kind of, they give away their money to like the crowds and their, like the audience that they're performing for. Which,
they really hate like foreclosure and like government seizures and stuff.
Yeah. And, like, corporations and big business.
Yeah. And, like, foreign bank investments.
Yeah, where was that bank that they went to? Like, they, like, broke. It was, like, in Italy.
Went to Paris.
Yeah, it was, like, Paris.
And that bank, whatever the questionable bank that they just, like, robbed money from, like, worst bank in history. Because it's just, like, unmanned, undetected, and then just all the money's coming to Vegas.
Yep. And then Mark Ruffalo is, like, the FBI agent or cop that's trying to like catch them.
You know, it's one of those things where the assignment is really non-threatening. You know, like, oh, we gotta catch these like criminals who somehow are stealing money from a like through a magical means. And it's like, well, I guess I won't be using my gun in this case.
Yeah, you have to go to Bellagio and catch these criminals.
And it's not like they are like.
I want to know if it's like if it's gonna turn into like The Prestige, where like The Prestige got like really like weird sci-fi. Like I want to find out if like these like people have like some sort of like crazy actual teleportation device that they use,
or they're actually just like wizards.
Yeah,
everyone's a sorcerer or something.
And then Nicolas Cage shows up.
You've been using the magic all wrong.
Michael Caine is like his character from Prestige. He's just like never. He's just like a Highlander. Or like an immortal, just like gives them like the Tesla like teleportation device.
You know, if you think about it, in The Prestige, Michael Caine is the true villain in that movie because he had the power to stop everything,
yep.
But he didn't.
He's just like whatever.
He knew everyone's secret, but he kept his mouth shut.
Yeah.
So and he's back again with this, talking about tricks and shit with Morgan Freeman.
Just allowing hundreds and hundreds of Hugh Jackman clones to die. Yeah, so, and then
I don't know. I guess I just need to see more trailers to get more excited. But I'm like, this is more. It's kind of gimmicky and kind of politically.
It seems like it seems like it could be, like, so stupid that's fun.
Yes, yes. I could see myself like laughing at the tricks and figuring out how they're doing it. But like I said, like we just, if they really are wizards just stealing money, like that's just hilarious. If it's, like, all one giant Ocean's 11 illusion, I kind of want to know why.
Yeah. Well, I want to know if it's, like, if they have, like, weird technology. Or maybe they're like jumpers, like that movie Jumper.
Oh my god, you're the only one who's mentioned Jumpers in the last 5 years.
Samuel Jackson, what are you doing?
He had blonde hair in that movie. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. And like a magical grappling hook.
It only had one trick.
So that's coming out in June next year. So one of the big summer movies, apparently. And then I think in the spring next year, another movie coming out is The Heat, which is Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy as a team of buddy cops. And then, so it looks like usual buddy cop hijinks. Like one of them is super straight laced, which is Sandra Bullock. And the other one's like crazy and mavericky and
fat.
Yeah, and fat and wacky. So, and they have to team up to like take down some sort of drug dealer or Russian people.
I do like that. I do like for the whole trailer we watch for the 2 minutes, we don't understand why they're doing this. There's no like main person they're chasing. There's no like thing they're saving. Besides maybe like their job, you know, it's like, oh, you got to be a partners with her.
Yeah, just like the one guy they arrested, and then
yeah, over and over again.
Yeah.
So there really is no plot besides, hey, these people are wacky. But again, we just saw the first trailer of this, and it's just like we can already tell the cliches.
They're hanging him. Upside down by his feet. We haven't seen that before.
I'm really hoping they les out. Like at one point during the movie. Really, they're just like, oh my god, being your partner is so hard.
There's that scene like they're at a bar, so they might get drunk, and then that might happen.
Come on, I'm pushing for it. I haven't seen it.
I wonder if it's gonna be R-rated or PG-13.
Either it's probably PG-13. There's no way this movie has enough content to be violent.
Wasn't I'm trying to think, yeah, Cop Out was R-rated, I think.
There was an unrated version, I think.
A Cop Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if anything, it was mostly language, because I can't honestly remember like gory anything in
no
movie. And the other guys, it's you know the movie has the other guys vibe to it too.
Kinda.
Except you know.
Yeah, the other guys didn't really have a clear villain.
They didn't have a clear villain, but like it was funny for the certain problems that occurred, and this movie's like it didn't have. Again, a villain. It didn't have, like, ooh, this is, like, the issue they have to deal with. It's kind of like, oh, they're stumbling around, like, solving this mystery case that kind of gets revealed as you watch it.
Yeah.
So this feels like just like that. But Melissa McCartney, oh my god, like, not just to typecast her, but she's the same character in every movie, which I don't care. Like, I kind of like her, like, fat character because it's different.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's going to be, next year she's going to be in The Heat and then she's also in Identity Thief. With Jason Bateman.
Playing the same kind of role.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is a cop, and now this is like a thief.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Okay, it's getting kind of dry here. I don't mind that she's large and funny, but it's like, so is Roseanne.
She's on that, is it Mike and Molly, I think it's the show she's on? That she won like, she won like an Emmy for it? Or a bunch of Emmys for it?
I don't know.
It's on like CBS or something, so only old people watch it. Anyway, so that's coming out next year. So moving on to other news. Actually, it came out today that Sci-Fi is debuting a new show next year called Robot Combat League, which I think we both saw Real Steel, right, Chris?
Yeah. You know, we also grew up watching Robot Wars and...
Yeah, BattleBots.
BattleBots.
Yeah. So this is basically Real Steel, the show. They've built, apparently... It's not teams that are building their own robots. I guess they had like they're pre-making the robots and like assigning them to different people. And they're gonna have one person controlling them. One person they're gonna have like a two man. It's like a controller and then like an engineer as teams. And then they're just gonna fight each other. And then the winner gets $100,000.
What? Are these people like at least someone in the science field, or are these people just like I want to control a robot?
Well, they have the engineer on the team, and then they also have like the robot controller or like the robot jock that they're calling them. And they're going to be like MMA fighters and soldiers and other combat people, boxers.
No, no, oh no!
And there's some pictures like I guess Entertainment Weekly put out a bunch of pictures up. It's going to be hosted by Chris Jericho.
Good, that's related to science
and. I don't know how they're going to be controlled. I'm guessing, like, joysticks or something.
Right, see, if it was, like, motion-controlled, yes, I would like an MMA fighter or a boxer.
Yeah.
But if it's robot control using a freaking gamepad, I would like a Korean player or,
yeah,
like, half of Japan.
Yeah. And then it looks like they have like some like a they have like a giant like control bar coming out the back of them, so they're not gonna like they're not gonna be like free roaming across the arena. They're gonna be like sort of like kind of like more like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It's like they're gonna push them against each other and then they'll be fighting.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I gotta see, but already on paper it sounds horrible. It's like, oh, they're gonna do is just like mush the robots into each other and see who like comes out on top.
Yeah, there's just like,
you know what that is? Explosions. It's like if you take two Disney animatronic bots,
yes,
and you push them together at like some horrifying like Hall of Presidents show.
I would like to see. Yeah, they should have just gotten like animatronics and then like Abe Lincoln versus someone.
JFK.
Yes.
Just like push them together. Whoever doesn't lose his head wins. I just can't believe the prize is that huge for, like, no one actually building these robots by hand.
I sent you the pictures, you can see, Chris, quick.
Like a laugh at them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. These are, like, they're funny-looking robots, but... Jesus. I can't imagine, like... If you go to, like, one of these events, and then you guys stand around in, like, a cage match of these people pushing these robots together.
Actually, there's gonna be, like, a ton of, like, smoke and, like, sparks coming off of them, like, make it more like, they're ripping each other apart!
Right, I feel like this is gonna be staged.
Yeah.
It looks staged, so...
I'm sure, I'm predicting that there's gonna be just a bunch of, like, douchebags controlling them.
Oh, hell yeah, it's gonna be, like, sponsored by Axe.
Yo,
oh, hey,
yo,
it's the Axe Man.
It's Maximus Ducius. They're just, like, name their robots, whatever.
Holy shit. It's, like, the lineup, it's, like, I can imagine it's, like, Turbo. Blazer.
Yes, it's just the red gladiator. Laser.
Glazer.
Gemini.
Iceman.
Yeah. So that's going to be on Sci-Fi next year. I'd be curious to just like watch the first episode to see exactly what the hell it is.
Hey, you watched Jousting, the TV show.
I did watch Fullmetal Jousting.
So this is like way.
That was actually kind of realistic, or like they're actually like doing it. Like who knows?
Was it Zach?
Yeah. Why don't they just bring back like fucking BattleBots or something?
BattleBots makes sense. It's like out of shape nerds like getting excited about their machine that can smash a hammer real fast.
Yeah.
Against like something that like they put more thought in their robot and they're just like, fuck. We gotta fight that.
It's like elaborate, just like giant like lever like ramp operated robot that has like, a giant ramp on it and like crazy mechanics. This is like
the one that usually won the fights was the robot that that had like
spin it.
The ram. That, yeah, it had like an incline ramp.
Yeah.
So whatever robot it fought, it would just flip it on its side.
Yeah. Well, I remember
that robot destroyed.
There was like the tiny one, Ziggo, who just like spun at like super crazy speeds and like weights on the end of it. So it just like spin it to the other robots and smash it to pieces.
Now, I always like when they have to go against someone who like, who wasn't the first season, so the robots were, like, super and, like, way better, and then, like, they go against a first season guy who couldn't afford better parts.
Yeah, yeah.
That was funny. That's a robot match.
And I like Robot Wars, too, because they had, like, the house robots. They had, like, the giant, like Circulot. We had, like, it's like a giant tank with, like, a spear and stuff, and they had, like, the Triceratops robot with a chainsaw
tail. I
didn't
watch Robot Wars, but...
There was at least three different like robot shows at one point.
Right, and then it died down. Now it's coming back with just like douchey guys behind the controls now.
Yeah, yeah. They should have got Hugh Jackman to host it.
That would have made sense.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you saw me teach a robot to box and love my son. I'm gonna show you how like these
now it's
skinny,
real. It's real
fuckers.
Steel.
Yeah, real steel on these guys.
It's all just like an elaborate like viral marketing for Real Steel 2.
Steel harder.
Yeah. where he has to fight, like, Robot Apollo Creed for the championship.
It's just a racist black robot.
Yeah. It's like a giant, like an Afro robot. It's like Afro Thunder, the robot. You a jive-ass turkey, Adam. So, anyway, so moving on to other news. Next year, we're going to have, they announced Insidious 2 is coming out. I think you and Joe are big fans of Insidious, right, Chris?
Like, it took a while to build up, because it was not a scary movie. It was more like a, like, the tension had to build, and then once it was up at the apex of it, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then it was over. So, I kind of want a horror movie that makes me kind of more afraid of I don't know. I'm a fan of it because it was kind of original and kind of not. Like, there are certain lingering parts that are kind of cool about it. They're like, oh, like, you know, he's kind of like Freddy Krueger in the sense where he lives in your dreams and he fucks around with, like, young people. Mm-hmm. And then the only way you can go into his world is, like, not killing yourself. You just have to be, like, asleep or something, right?
I guess. I never saw it.
Oh, you never saw it? Okay, well, yeah, it's harder then. It's hard to explain because the movie's, like, it tried to be, like, this boy is possessed and, you know, oh, possession, scary shit. And it turns out it's just the dad's been possessed, too. And it's like, I forgot I was possessed. Like, I don't think you can just forget you've been possessed. Whatever.
Demon powers, Chris. Demon magic explains it all.
Demon magic, right.
But yeah, so CS2 coming out next, I think, actually next summer. Pretty much all the original cast in the first movie's back. And good. Same director as well, I think. So,
because the movie kind of ended on this creepy cliffhanger that was kind of cool, but still kind of like, oh, that was it, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, definitely worth seeing if you can sometime. So, we'll see. It's nothing like Paranormal Activity, where it's like it ends and you're just like, that's it?
Wasn't it like the producers of Paranormal Activity?
Yes. So, and they have not changed any of their formulas from what I heard about Paranormal Activities 1 through 4.
Yeah, it's Insidious Chapter 2 is the name of the movie.
Check 2?
Chapter 2.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's out in August next year. And then, moving on to other news, we found out today, actually, that Chevy Chase is going to be leaving Community.
No, Pierce, why?
He's had issues, with before Dan Harmon left, and then after Dan Harmon left, still having, like, issues with everybody, like, saying racist things and not showing
to
who? And, like, just interviews and stuff, and just randomly.
Wait, is he saying racist things?
Yeah.
Or are people saying racist things to him?
He's making, like, weird, like, crazy comments about things, and then getting in trouble, and then not, like, complaining about the show all the time, and...
It's funny, because that's what his character is on that show.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, I don't see what's wrong.
He's very method.
Yeah, he's a method actor. He gets really in character, and he can't leave until, like, mm-hmm. they fire him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what they said about him during SNL. Like, he was hard to work with.
I've heard that about pretty much everything he's done.
Yeah. Except for, National Lampoon Family Vacation movies. Like, he's always, like, fine with those.
Yeah. Well,
that sucks.
The sad thing is that this is probably going to be the last year of Community anyway, so...
Right, so if they're going to end it, like, they're not going to end it like, oh, it's like, the later years without Pierce, because he was... I don't mind them ending Community now, right? Like, they would have completed their senior year.
Yeah.
Again, just let him finish the story. Just let him
graduate,
finish his chapter.
Let him graduate from Greendale, and then they can just go on to do whatever.
Because nothing more sad if they just never finished, and they just never left Greendale,
yeah,
and forever they're in limbo.
Let them graduate, and then they have, like, Animal House style, like, where are they now segments.
Hell, I appreciate spinoff of other characters, so.
Mm-hmm. Troy and Abed, like, hosting a daytime talk show.
Senior Chang, like, off solving world problems somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
the Ghost of Starburns.
Or Senior Chang becoming his character from The Hangover. Mr. Chow. It's the Rise of Chow. So, that's the news count today. Then the last bit of news is the list of the biggest box office bombs of 2012 came out from Forbes.
It sucks when, like, a business company has a review worst financial movie records.
Yeah. So, Chris, any guesses about what's on the list?
John Carter.
Actually, no, because I guess apparently it made enough, like, internationally to not warrant being, like, a huge disaster, but it's still a huge disaster.
What's that Tyler Perry movie that came out that wasn't Tyler Perry?
I think I know what you're talking about, but, what the hell was the hell? I Think Like a Man or whatever?
No. It's the one where it's established. Cross.
Elks Cross.
Yeah.
Not in the list.
Not on the list? Shit. Yeah, I don't know then.
Okay.
I can guess forever.
All right, number 10, Red Tails.
I forgot about that.
Number 9, Premium Rush.
Wow.
Number 8, That's My Boy.
That's sad.
Number 7, People Like Us.
Never heard of that.
It was like Chris Pine, Elizabeth Banks. Like, they don't realize they're brother and sister.
Were they married or something?
No, Chris Pine finds out that he has a sister because his dad dies. He's like, give this money to your sister. It's like, what?
Because I'm like, oh, it'd be fun if, like, they were dating. And it's like, you're my sister. No!
Yeah.
Damn.
Number 6, Rock of Ages.
Eh.
Number 5.
That's sad.
It did pretty horrible, yeah.
Well, people were like, that's a good stage show. But I guess, like, it doesn't translate well to a movie.
No. Number 5, Wanderlust.
There was, like, no budget for that. How did they lose money on that?
It cost $30 million, and it made $21
million. Oh, well, it was that close.
Big Miracle, number 4, the Drew Barrymore Tries to Save the Whales movie.
Oh, yeah. I guess no one cared about that.
No. 3, really, like, this is super disappointing, but number 3 is Dread.
What?
Cost $50 million to make, only made $28 million.
Yeah, but that's like a foreign international movie that people didn't realize. It was like an international independent movie, too.
I mean, still did not make a ton of money. Even though it was super awesome and everyone should have seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it'll probably be on all our top 10 lists, definitely, this year.
Yep.
And then number 2, 1,000 Words, Eddie Murphy.
I forget.
And the not surprising number 1 is The Oogie Loves.
Oh, yeah, God.
The worst opening of all time.
It was like $2,000?
It was like $400,000 its opening weekend.
$400,000.
Eventually eked out $1 million, but it cost $20 million to make.
Oh, God. And the worst part, like, that's a kid's movie. Like, no kid wanted to see that. No parent was like, no, what the hell's an oogie?
You should.
And there was, like, no marketing for it either.
No.
Besides, like, the creepy poster that you could, like, did you have that, Zach? Did you have the poster of, like, them, the three of them, like, floating on a balloon, and you just press the button, and they talked?
Yep.
And someone smashed that in my movie theater. Like, someone put a fist through that.
Just press, it's like, science-rific. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It just awesome-tastic. Yeah, we got a ton of,
just,
like,
you know,
we got
it's like, how do you relate to these freaky-looking UK, like,
yeah,
children? It's like, Teletubbies I can kind of get, because they're kind of human-looking, you know, their faces.
Yeah.
But an Oogie was like this, like, what if your boogers came to life?
Yes. And their friend was a vacuum cleaner for no reason, and they were trying to, like, find they lost their balloons, their magic balloons, and they had to go find the balloons.
Did it take place in, like, the real world? And
yeah, there was, like, real people. There's, like, Christopher Lloyd was in it and stuff.
Christopher Lloyd appears in, like, really random things these days.
Yeah. Everyone definitely needs to go read on the AV Club, Nathan Rabin, who does like the My Year of Flops. He did like a he's doing like My World of Flops now, and he did like a whole like a 2-page write up on like Oogie Loves, where he went to see it with his wife, and there were only 2 people in the theater.
Opening night.
Yep. It's just like hilarious. It's like him describing like what the hell was going on in that movie. Apparently there's like sing-alongs, but they don't put the words on the bottom of the screen, so it's like, they're just like assuming you know the words to the songs, or you're singing it like multiple times to like know the words to the songs.
Is it original song too?
It's original songs in the movie.
You can't fucking do that for kids.
It's like, everyone sing along! And it's just like, well, what are the words?
Play the game! What? Play the game! I don't know the rules!
And there's also like, there's like, the characters just like yelling at people, like stand up all the time and like yell and jump around and run around the theater.
What?
It's like, get up and run! Wah! Jump up and dance!
Ever watch Dora the Explorer?
Yeah.
You know, they point out, like, where's the map? Or like, do you know where this is? So they did that for a movie?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. Ballsy, with, like, original characters that no one knew about.
Yeah. So those are that's the biggest bomb of 2012. Probably one of the biggest bombs of all time.
Oh, I mean, there's always, that's the great thing about being, like, a failure is that there's always going to be another greater failure later on.
Mm-hmm.
So, the bar set that low.
Yep. Who will top it?
Who will fall?
Yeah. So that's it for news. Is there anything else you could think of, Chris? Not really, not much, because it's holiday week, much. So everyone's preparing for the holidays, not really putting out any news.
People probably hear this, like, Sunday, so hey.
Yeah.
Future Sundayers, what's up?
So, why don't we get to the newest roundup for the week, and right. Our pick of the week is Expendables 2, obviously. I think go listen to our review cast of it, and also like pretty much every the last 2 weeks leading up to it, 2 weeks leading after it.
I think fun fact: every third episode we mention Expendable something.
Yes.
So do that.
Like Expendables 2 is basically like the everything action the movie. If we were to make a movie, it'd probably be Expendables 2.
If they gave us a shitload of money and went cast whoever.
Yep.
Have, like, the most minimum, like, storytelling elements.
You have an unlimited explosion budget.
Yeah, you have, you are unrated.
Yep.
Sort of. Like, is it the movie, the DVD come out, is it unrated, or is it just, like...
It doesn't say unrated. I'm just assuming it's just, like, the regular version. They might... Okay. I know, like, for the first one, they put out a... Like director's cut later, so maybe they'll this one.
That was upsetting. So, and just like, it's a great idea, and now people are like scrambling to mimic it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait for like the
There's two battling female Expendables movies coming out right now.
Right, I'm saying they haven't made the like weird Asylum version of the Expendables yet.
They had to, like who is, like, always cast in, like, the Asylum movies? Like, C. Thomas Howell and, like,
Tori Spelling.
And, like, Michael Ironside. And,
Christian Slater.
Christian Slater, yep. Michael Madsen. Keith David.
Rucker Hauer.
Yep. I don't know. The usual staple of Asylum people.
Yep.
People just like, everyone says yes to everything. It'll just be like in that movie. But definitely see Expendables 2 if you haven't seen it yet, because it's amazing.
You see Expendables 2 by now. It's like, what have we been doing all your life?
Why are you listening to us? We also have Cinderella on Diamond Edition Blu-ray.
I think I remember 2 years ago they released like the Ultimate Cinderella Collection where it came out with like the 3 movies.
Yeah. What the hell even happens in like 2 and 3?
Two is like her living her fucking life. Just like, I'm a princess now for no reason. Mm-hmm. And the third movie is her helping her stepsisters, like trying to get laid. I'm not even kidding. That's actually a plot.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's find you guys a prince.
That's basically, but like, I don't think they could, so they just like, I'm going to find you a stable boy or something. Like, someone to marry you off and like get away from our stepmother.
I'm sure there's a servant around here somewhere who's drunk enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much the equivalent. Like, all she does was trying to, like, mend the bonds between her stepsisters, who, like, honestly don't need her love. And she goes around, like, trying to find suitors. Because mm-hmm. Disney wants everyone to have their own happy endings.
Yeah. Yeah. And they like money. So we also have The Dust Bowl, which is the latest documentary by Ken Burns.
It's actually
just recently on PBS, like this past weekend. We have the Tarantino 8 film collection, which is pretty much every Tarantino movie that's been out so far, Blu-ray with a crazy awesome box art from like the guy who does the Alamo Drafthouse posters.
Cool. That guy's getting famous.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of work.
Like the Mondo posters, I think, like the Mondo's the name of the studio that does them. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, Inglourious Basterds, Death Proof, True Romance, Jackie Brown. I mean, every Tarantino movie. With like, I think there's like 3 hours of bonus materials for like every movie too, so it's crazy. We have season 4 of Ancient Aliens.
Yeah.
That's still a show.
It's still on.
Yep. I don't know how, like, what are they even talking about at this point? They've, like, I can see, like, a special, but, like, season, like, it's, like, what, is, like, the pyramids, like, that, well, that'd be, like, in the first season, but, like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about now. Like, was Ben Franklin an alien?
I do, like, eventually, the thing about history is that it's dated, you know? There's not much you can rediscover again.
Mm-hmm.
If your show is about discovering stuff and about old stuff, not like new theories, these are ancient theories that eventually you're like, okay, we're out of topics. The end.
Well, it's like, did aliens visit us and then the Mayans see them and write them on their wall?
Right, but like, I'm just saying, at some point we're going to hit a peak where no one cares anymore about ancient aliens. We're more interested about present time or future theories.
When aliens finally visit us, well, we won't care about ancient aliens anymore.
Kind of. It's not like, hey, come back and like, hey, pop quiz. You remember when we did this? Like, fuck. Should've watched more ancient aliens.
Mm-hmm. We also have WWE The Attitude Era coming out this week, which I think is like basically like a look back at like the 90s of WWE.
Okay.
It's like the Stone Cold, The Rock, D-Generation X era.
Yeah, that was a fun time in wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, the writing for that was pretty good now I think about it. Like, now wrestling things are kind of weird, but...
Well, like, Suck It and Crotch X's and...
You know, there's a lot more catchphrases from that time, mm-hmm. too. Like, that was the time of, like, one word...
Do you smell the Rock is cooking?
Right, like, okay, man, not one word, but, like, weird one sentences that just, like,
Austin
are all sexual for no reason.
Austin 316.
Yeah. Open a can of whoop-ass.
Jabroni. Or probably on Netflix. Like, all WWE stuff starts up on Netflix at some point, so. It's, like, 50 most outrageous backstage moments. We also have Dragons, Riders of Berk, which is the High Train Dragon show.
That, you know, they had the first pilot episode on Netflix for like a year, and there was no, like, follow-up. And then Nickelodeon hyped the shit out of it, and then they had showed, like, 3 episodes.
Yeah, I don't remember it being, like, Cartoon Network really promoted it a lot. And then we also have Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the complete series, on DVD this week.
Ooh, that's good.
So every episode, for $84, which I mean, they're also on Netflix too. But if you want to get them on DVD, now you can get the entire Mighty Morphin series on DVD.
If you believe they deserve more money.
Yes. You should get that, and then you can do like a. You start doing. You gotta do like a Total Recall or something of like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Chris. Just like start watching it from the beginning.
Oh man, no, I've got another giant article, which, you know, I don't do many of, but I have one where we do a social experiment with Saban shows, mm-hmm. and we make our own spin wheel.
Of like, what characteristics you mean, what characteristics you mean in this show?
No, no, we spin based on a bunch of criteria, and then we try to get that episode that matches it.
Oh, okay.
So we have to randomly combine a bunch of like, ideas, mm-hmm. like cliches, running cliches, and then try to find that one episode that has it. And if it does, then you just get blitz drunk.
A very serious episode.
The very serious experiment. I hope to put this in a book one day.
Or create like a drinking, like a the jump to conclusions mat, but it's like the Power Rangers spin wheel.
I want to patent this.
Yeah. We also have Transformers Prime Season 2 coming out this week, which is the newest Transformers show currently on The Hub.
Yeah, I saw like previews for it and whatnot, like commercials for it, and they all look kind of slimmed down. Like all the robots have are like just like sleeker, and it's not even like a bulky robot show anymore. They're like they almost look like fucking.
Well, it's
feminine looking.
It's heavily Michael Bay inspired. It does have the original voices, so. At least
you know what it is. They have no sharp edges in that show. Like everyone is perfectly like sleek and curvy. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
I guess because when they sell the toys, they want to make them more kid-friendly, so no one's, like, stabbing each other.
It's kind of, I think it's kind of the same animation style as, like, Green Lantern or Clone Wars or the new Ninja Turtles show. It's that weird, like, CG, but, like, we don't want to, like, stylize CG, so it won't cost as much, we'll just make it, like, kind of simple.
Right, right.
And last thing out this week is Game of Thrones Season 1 Collector's Edition. So it's in a fancy new box and some additional special features, a bunch of other stuff. It's got a Dragon Egg paperweight along with it.
Oh, cool.
And then there's a bunch of a bunch of exclusive special features and got in-episode guides and a bunch of other stuff. Still have not seen Game of Thrones.
You should probably get into that when you have time.
Yeah.
Then again, I didn't finish Walking Dead, so we're even on that.
Yeah, we all have shows that we have not watched
yet. As long as one of us is watching that, mm-hmm. that's good.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for new releases. So when we get into show and tell, and Chris, have you watched anything?
Yeah, I finally watched Bronson.
Oh, right.
Yeah. If you're unfamiliar with Bronson, it's a story about a real-life criminal in England named Michael Peterson, who, for most of his adult life, has been in prison. And in prison, he's just been in solitary confinement because he keeps fighting everyone. He's, like, guards and some inmates and stuff.
Fighting and killing them, right?
What?
Like, he kills them pretty much, too, right?
No.
Has he killed a bunch of guys in prison?
No.
He hasn't?
He hasn't. Well, at least in this movie. I didn't really read his real biography, but don't forget, like, it's kind of hard to kill someone in prison without, like, real weapons. And, like, at least from what I saw in the movie, like, it seems like, oh, plus, like, he's always in solitary confinement, so he doesn't have time to, like, shank anyone. Like, he just beats up on the guards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, historically wise,
I'll say it's from the guy directed Drive, right?
What?
It's from the guy directed Drive.
I don't know.
I think it is.
I didn't read into that.
And it's sort of like the movie that sort of like put Tom Hardy on the map.
Yes, it's what they saw. Tom Hardy has the ability to get like huge. Like mm-hmm. this movie came out in 2006.
Around there, yeah.
around there. So it's like, it's post, no, not 2006, like 2007. Like, it's post anything we've known him since Star Trek Nemesis.
Yes, that was his first
pre movie. Yeah. Tom Hardy Inception.
Yep.
So, actually, like, about a year and a half after this movie, he got into Inception, so he had to, like, slim down a little. Like, he got really top-heavy, like, and like Bronson.
Christian Bale style?
It's impressive. What?
Christian Bale style, where, like, he was in The Machinist, and then he had, like, he had,
no,
like, 300
no,
pounds.
Nothing like that. Nothing extreme, but he definitely, like, he looked menacing. This is a man that, like, if you were ever in a situation with him taking his shirt off and he's going to come after you, like, you just got to run. Mm-hmm. Especially because the best part was it takes place in, like, the 70s to the 80s, right? He, like, he shaves his head and grows out a mustache in this movie, so he looks comically, like, from the 40s. As, like, an old English gentleman boxer. And, like, they point out during the movie, they're like, you know, your look is very classic, and he's like, yes, it is. But, like, it's funny because it's his English accent. This is a very English movie. Like, there was really no marketing for the time. It probably was popular in England, but it is like the weirdest version of Clockwork Orange in that sense of, like, English insanity. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think didn't he become like kind of like a celebrity in England too?
Yeah, like, he's famous for going to, like, all these prisons, starting, like, he started a giant riot in the mid-70s that, like, cost a lot of money to repair all, like, the damages and, like, the prison and its surrounding areas. And then he was labeled the most expensive, like, prisoner in England.
Mm-hmm, just because, like, medical costs and moving and...
Like, it just, for taxpayers' reasons, it was as expensive to keep him around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every day, all the upkeep, the, like, maximum security for him and everything. And it's great because, I mean, it's horrible if I had to pay taxes for fucking this one guy, but it's, like, he lavished in it. And the movie shows you, like, why, like, his thought process of it and the things that led up to him just always getting in trouble. Some of it's kind of honorable. We're like, oh, like, he's just misunderstood. And some parts are like, this guy's a dick. But, yeah, like, I could see why they chose him as a good Bane. I just wish Bane was as badass as Bronson. It's one of those things where, now that we've all seen Dark Knight Rises, knowing that Bane isn't really just, like, he isn't really the mastermind that we thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Bronson, like, there was no rhyme and reason with him. He just likes being in trouble, so that was the movie about, and it's fun because you watch him go through the thought process of, like, why he does it. He presents his ideas to, like, this show audience during the movie, like,
yeah,
during these breaks.
Yeah, isn't it? It's weird, like, it's like, kind of like him, like, putting on, like, a stage show or something.
Yep, and that's this way of communicating to the audience as, like, a weird narrative. And it's good because it actually, like, bypasses, like, weird dialogue with, like, exposition between characters. It's just like, hey, between these years, I did nothing. Between these years, I did this. And it's like a clip show. But, yeah, I remember, like, one of the reviews just says it's like the new age Clockwork Orange, where it's just insanity, just weird, like, weird moments, like, the way the style is and, like, the filming, like, techniques and everything. It's very interesting. But it's definitely not a movie that, like, you want to show people. It's, you know, it's kind of hard to explain why you're watching it. Especially, like, if a bunch of people are like, hey, what movie you want to watch? Like, Bronson. Like, what?
Hell yeah.
Even with Clockwork Orange, that's a hard movie to throw on and show people.
No. It's like you're alone and feeling horrible about yourself.
Yeah, if you feel depressed, putting Clockwork Orange on is not bad.
Yeah.
Same with Bronson. But I imagine it's, like, a good day. Like, oh, Bronson, and you're just like, oh man, this guy's life sucks.
I'm looking for, like, a lighthearted romp. Let's watch Bronson or Clockwork Orange. So, anything else, Chris?
No, that's it.
Alrighty. So, I finally watched The Campaign. Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis.
Right.
Have you seen that, Chris?
Nope.
Not yet? Okay. It's typical Will Ferrell. Like if you're a fan of Will Ferrell, it's like, you're not going to be surprised by anything, but still, like, super solid and funny. Zach Galifianakis is hilarious in it. It's like this, like, super weird and, like, kind of super effeminate, like, like weird southern, like, it's in, like, it's North Carolina, like, the people, like, North Carolina, like, senator, like, the Congress slot. And then it's just like, Will Ferrell's unopposed for like the last 8 years, so then it's like he finally has an opponent. And some really great supportive people. Dermot Mulroney is like this like super intense, super creepy like campaign manager that like shows up out of nowhere for like Zach Galifianakis' campaign. It's like completely changed like his appearance and like it's like just like constantly yelling at him and like. And like John Lithgow and Dan Aykroyd are like the evil like corporate sponsors behind Zach Galifianakis' campaign. They want like bring like this like they want to bring like a sweatshop from China to like North Carolina because it will like reduce their like shipping costs. It's kind
of wow. Like it has, they didn't mention that at all during the movie. You know,
it has this kind of weird like big businesses ruining is like. Corrupting the political system message.
Wait, is that the main message of the movie?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, wait, was Will Ferrell's character for it?
I mean, eventually he like comes around to not being that way, but then like for like a while there he is like, yeah, if it wins my campaign, I'll give me all the business, all the big money.
Ah.
It's kind of like the other guys were like that last, I think the other guys were last year, or was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of the same weird, like, it was like all about like, the Wall Street and banking scandals and stuff.
Well, it was all about like terrible banks that just like
steal people's made money. Shitty investments. Yeah. And they had the weirdest credit sequence for like ever for a comedy, which is just like spreadsheets and like a PowerPoint presentation about how like, how the banks are corrupting, like, how the banks are screwing you and, like, stealing money. There's just, like, pie charts and flow charts of, like, here's how much money the people, like, the management of Merrill Lynch spent last year. And it was, like... But, yeah, campaign, solid, super, like, solid comedy, if you want to, like, check if you're, like, a fan of Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis, definitely check it out. And also, I also played over the weekend and beat, the campaign for Black Ops 2, just basically like playing a Michael Bay movie, so.
Is the campaign like 4 hours long as they said it is?
It's like eight, probably.
Okay.
And it's probably one of the best campaigns ever for Call of Duty, because it's like, There's like six different endings depending on what you do in the different choices you make during the campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
That I did not know that.
Like at certain points, you can choose to kill people or not kill people. You can collect evidence and then or not collect evidence, and then that'll affect like what you know going forward in the story. And then they also have like these new like Strike Force missions, which are like basically they're on like the multiplayer map, and you're like sort of like you have like overhead like strategic view, but you can zoom into like any unit and control them. And if you can skip those if you want, but if they don't do them, they'll affect the story negatively. And you're like you'll lose like characters or like certain countries. And the whole thing is that there's this terrorist named Raul Menendez who is trying to like take over the like drone army of America because like it's set in the year 2025, so like there's just tons and tons of like unmanned drones and crazy technology happening. And this guy wants to take over basically as like revenge against America and specifically the character from the first Black Ops game, which is Alex Mason, who was involved in like his sister's death. And you're flashing back to like the 80s and doing like CIA Black Ops missions in the 80s, and you're like in year 2025 doing stuff with David Mason, who's like the son.
Right. Like I was excited that this is a direct sequel, but it's weird that it takes place over like 30 years. Like mm-hmm. It flash forwards
too fast. Well, you're like, you go like beginning of the game is like super heavy, like you're doing a lot of flashbacks in the beginning of the game, just because you're trying to like learn the backstory, and you're talking to Frank Woods, who's like your partner in the first game.
Who died and who didn't die in Vietnam.
No. He's in this super secure army retirement home called the Vault. And then, actors, Sam Worthington was still Alex Mason. And he's just like, he's super hilarious. It's like, he cannot control his Australian accent at all. So he's just like, he's supposed to be like this like super American guy. He's just like,
yeah, he's supposed to be like the all American boy.
Yeah. And he's like super Australian the entire game.
Is Gary Oldman back?
They mentioned his character, but he doesn't show up.
And none of the Modern Warfare 3 characters show up in those, do they?
That's like a totally separate, like, universe or something.
What?
It's like the Treyarch universe is like World at War, Black Ops, and Black Ops 2. So it like nothing in Modern Warfare is like even
what
even is like even in this, it's like they're alternate universes.
No.
Yeah, there's no soap. There's no Price. There's
At least that's what I'm saying. Maybe there's an old Price or like an older Price, like cameo, like hello.
Nope.
War is hell. Goodbye. God damn it.
There's a lot of weird, like, historical cameos. Like, at one point, you meet Oliver North.
Is that an actor?
Oliver North, like, apparently he was, like, consultant on the game. And he's also in the game. And then there's a couple missions where, like, you're, like, getting helped by, and then you're trying to capture Noriega in Nicaragua.
Hmm.
And it's, like, the actual Noriega. So that's kind of weird, crazy. And then, other actors like Michael Rooker is like your partner in the future.
It's funny because he's actually like an older gentleman now, and in the game he's like 30.
Yeah. He's just like constantly just like yelling and like, tell us where that stuff is. And then like you're like the admiral, like your base is like the USS Barack Obama, which is like this aircraft carrier.
Oh my god.
And like the admiral of that ship is Tony Todd. So it's like Admiral Candyman.
That's a little weird.
And he's constantly calling like everyone just like he's just like, we gotta catch that cocksucker.
But funny, instead of the Admiral, instead of Tony Todd, it was the Allstate guy.
Dana Sainsbury, yeah. He should have been the president.
President Palmer?
Yeah. Should have just been President Palmer.
Are you in good hands?
But yeah, it's super, definitely like one of the best Call of Duty games that's been out in a while.
I don't know. Modern Warfare 3 was pretty good for my money.
The story of that one wasn't too great.
The story was a little weak, but
and that was like that one was like 4 hours long.
Well, but like, hey, you got to play along with Timmy Olyphant.
Did you?
Yeah, he was one of the characters, and so was it is Ibra, whatever his name is. Idris Elba.
So the first Black Ops, you had Ed Harris as Hudson.
Right.
So he's not back for this one. So they got Michael Keaton as Hudson now.
What?
Yes, it is crazy.
Michael Keaton. I know he's Ed Harris. He was awesome as Hudson.
Yeah, it was like that one level you got to play as him, and it was like you're basically like playing as Francis Hubble from The Rock.
But, like, Michael, does he sound similar, or totally different?
Like, I think he's trying to sound a little similar, but you can tell it's Michael Keaton.
Yay.
But it's definitely worth checking
out. Anything else?
Definitely worth checking out. Yeah, definitely something else to talk about. I finally saw Universal Soldier, Day of Reckoning.
Oh my god.
Which, a review up on the site. It was pretty fucking crazy.
From what I heard, yeah, but I still don't know what's going on.
It's the story of Universal Soldier makes absolutely no sense. It's just like no movie relates to any other movie. Besides, like, there's a character named Luke Devereaux in all of them, and Dolph Lundgren gets killed and comes back for some reason.
So, like, if you watch the first one and this, would that make sense?
I mean, not really, because it's just like,
that's
like, you watch the first one and you have like Jean-Claude Van Damme like learning to be a human and growing as a character, and then like Dolph Lundgren gets killed in a wood chipper, and if you cut to this one, it's like Jean-Claude Van Damme is crazy, like super insane, super bald, murdering people. Dolph Lundgren is somehow back, and the main character is Scott Adkins this time, who plays this character named John, he has a home invasion, and then like his wife and daughter get murdered by Jean-Claude Van Damme, and so he's in the hospital for like 9 months after like trying to recover from it, and when he gets out, he's like trying to like figure out where he is and to kill him.
Why do they go after Scott Adkins and his wife?
You know, they don't really resolve that.
Oh, good.
I don't think it's not much of a spoiler to say that Scott Adkins is the Universal Soldier himself. So there's one government, like, apparently, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme is, like, raising this army of, like, renegade Universal Soldiers. And he has, like, this weird, like, he has, like, a drug that he injects into people, like, into the soldiers to, like, erase their, like, government programming. So, like, basically gives them, like, their freedom of thought back. So they're, like, they're not controlled by government anymore. So he's, like, raising, like, this renegade army. And then there's one government agent trying to, like, stop them. And then,
yeah, that's just poor government planning.
Yeah, he's working with Scott Adkins, like, trying to, like, help him out, like, find out where Duke Devereaux is. And then, so Dolph Lundgren's back. Actually, that's kind of disappointing. Like, Dolph Lundgren is basically, like, an extended cameo in this movie. Like, he's in a couple scenes. And he has, like,
I can guess what happens.
Well, he has a fight at the end with Scott Adkins, and, like, it's just, like, not as crazy a death as, like, the other two movies, but still a pretty crazy death.
Does he fall, like, on an open door, like, on a broken glass, like, sharp edge?
No. He has a machete that, like, gets turned against him.
God damn.
And also crazy is, like, Andrei Arlovsky is back. He was in the Regeneration, like, the main bad guy Regeneration.
Didn't he die by, like, getting shot?
They both died getting shot. But, I mean, who knows what the hell's going on with Universal Soldier? Like, there's, like, a million clones of everybody. There's an unlimited number of Universal Soldiers running around. Even though the program was, like, shut down, like, in the first movie.
Yeah, as soon as it was released, they go, okay, that was effective. Then, like, they turn evil. They're like, okay, no.
Right with this program. But then it was, like, and then, like, Universal Soldier, the return, they had, like, this, like, super high-tech facility with, like, Michael Jai White as an AI program.
Yeah, Black Dynamite was in control.
Yeah. And, it, like, it's elaborate, like, testing. They had, like, elaborate tests in, like, the swamps of Florida or whatever where they all over. But, yeah, so this one, apparently death is just temporary for your soldiers because everyone's pretty much back. And then, Andrei Arlovsky's, like, they call him the plumber. Because he's basically, like, he's a plumber's sleeper agent, and then the government activates him, and then he, like, goes after Scott Adkins. And, you know, the one thing this movie has going for it is that definitely takes advantage of its R rating, and the fight scenes are super brutal and super awesome.
Well, that's good. That's got that going for it.
Like, whatever room or building that the fights take place in, that building or room is going to be destroyed by the end of the fight.
So is it as brutal as that last fight in Redemption?
There actually is an awesome, like, tracking sequence of, like, Scott Adkins just, like, mowing, like, just following him through the hallways of, like, the renegade base and just, like, decimating people. It's, like, at least 5 minutes long and him just, like, going through and, like, tracking him through the hallways, running up, just, like, smashing people in the face, breaking necks, shooting people, pulling knives out and cutting people.
All right.
Like, it's like one ups. I think it one ups the one from Regeneration. And Van Damme is super crazy in this movie. He's like he's almost like Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now.
They're going for that. Yeah. I did see it in the trailer where you didn't understand anything was going on.
At the end of the movie, like
him ranting.
At the end of the movie, like he's bald. He's super creepy and bald. And then like in the movie, he just paints his face white and black. And he's constantly talking about, like, how he's gonna, like, free people's minds and bring about freedom and stuff. So
what do you think? Is there gonna be a sequel?
They kind of did set up for a sequel. I mean, I don't know how else one's gonna do, but I mean, they'll probably just keep making them because it's like they don't have to like. They can just bring back whoever the hell they want apparently, and just like keep going. It's like, oh, he's a clone.
They just bring back Michael J. White.
They should. Oh my god. Him versus like Dolph Lundgren, or versus like Van Damme.
Or Goldberg.
Yes. But I'd say. I think it's gonna be out in a couple weeks on like DVD, so if you want to check it out then, I'd say definitely check it out if you're a fan of the Universal Soldier series or just like Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren in general, as we all are here. And it's you can actually get it on demand right now. It's like see it before it's in theaters special thing. But yeah, and also the review is up on the site if you want to check that out. And I think that's pretty much it. So. I think we can probably wrap this thing up. Unless there's anything else, Chris?
Nope.
All right, so you can follow us at everythingaction.com for all our news and features and reviews and videos and trailers and all our regular stuff. Still doing our monthly salute to Bond music and musical montage, and this week we did the Pierce Brosnan and Timothy Dalton movies, which features one of my favorite Bond songs, GoldenEye. And also, when they were songs, period, Die Another Day. I know you're a fan of the Tomorrow Never Dies theme, right, Chris?
Say it again?
You're a fan of the Tomorrow Never Dies theme?
I like Sheryl Crow's theme. Compared to, like, Madonna's theme, the follow-up?
Yeah.
So, no, not actually, the Madonna's theme was two Bond movies, but mm-hmm. It's not bad. You know? It could be worse.
Yeah. World's Not Enough's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And Timmy Delta one's, like, no one really remembers what the hell those were. Aha did the first one.
Well, that was the most modern one, but it was, like, really poppy for a Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's like, I can only name two Aha songs.
That
Take On Me and the theme song for Bond.
Yeah. So that's up. A bunch of other regular features up on the site, so if you come check those out. Well, also, we have a bunch of new, like, we have an Amazon store that you can go check out, get movies from, like, all the action legends that we talk about. We also have a Redbox widget, which you can, like, see what the top action rentals from Redbox are and reserve them and rent them right from there. So if they come check out the new stuff on the site. And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action. And we're also on Twitter, twitter.com/evaction. You can find us on iTunes Music Store by going on there, searching for Everything Action, subscribe to Podcast on there. You can rate us, leave comments, leave us some reviews. If you subscribe on there, you get our regular weekly show. You also get our commentaries, and also get our review cast when we talk about a specific movie that just came out. And also on there is our app you can download for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It gives you the last 20 news stories on the site. You can listen to the podcast on there as well, so definitely download that. It's free. And we're also on Stitcher, stitcher.com. Just search Everything Action on there. You can stream the show on there. You can download it. You can listen to it on whatever mobile device or phone you have. They have an app for pretty much everything. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris, I'm Zach, and have a happy holiday, and we'll see you next week.